I am Planta on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. Judy Tayeb joins me again, the author and former MLA, is a CEO of Tugboat Enterprises, a data recovery software company. She's a popular guest on the program. Please welcome back to the Planta Online program, Judy Tayabji. Good morning, Ms. Tayabji.
Yeah, nice to hear from you.
Thanks for joining us. How have you been?
Pretty good. I'm glad to hear that I'm popular.
Yeah. I was going to say the how have you been question is redundant, because if we're following you on Twitter or Facebook, we'd know how you are, right?
Well, I used to use Twitter quite a bit, but the last couple of weeks, I've just found there's so much spam on there that it's almost not worth it, and I've just been too busy. And so Facebook, definitely, LinkedIn for sure, but Twitter is just getting a little bit kind of annoying.
What is LinkedIn?
LinkedIn is the business version of Facebook, and ironically, if I hadn't learned how to use Facebook, and I think I do it fairly well, I would have a harder time with LinkedIn, but I'm finding LinkedIn to be one of the most useful business tools that we've had as a company.
So if you're like me, you're not in a business, it wouldn't be useful?
Well, it might be. If you were looking for more listeners or markets, maybe. I can imagine that Twitter would be good for you. Twitter needs to develop niches so that, you know, you can actually have channels similar more to like a radio program. I just find it's much too scattered. And LinkedIn is really good for connecting with people with whom you've done business before. I mean, for us as a technology company, it's perfect.
I remember rereading your book, the first book, Political Affairs, a year or so ago, and I was surprised, and I don't know why I was surprised, but you were pretty hip to the computers and the internet in the early 90s.
Yeah, I'm a total geek.
Yeah,
I always have been. I remember, when the first full color VGA monitor came out and how excited I was. That was my first bank loan, was to buy a computer.
Really?
Yeah, that's pretty hardcore geek, but. Yeah, and I installed my own hand scanner that was supposed to be such huge technology. It was obsolete probably within a couple months, but it was great to have the first scanner at the time. You had to scroll something over the page three times to capture the whole image anyway.
Yeah, and does it surprise you or does it not surprise you that that we're where we are now?
Actually, I'm not surprised. I used to read a lot of science fiction when I was younger, so I'm actually surprised we're not further. And when I was young, I thought that by the time I was, really old like I am now, we wouldn't still be driving cars on the land. I was sure we'd be more like the Jetsons.
Yeah.
I just don't know why. I mean, space travel in the 60s was a lot more exciting than it is now. I saw Richard Branson unveiling his so-called spaceship. It's not a spaceship. It's like a glider being carried by two planes, and they're going to just release it in outer space, and it seems like kind of a scary technology to me, but it's really no advance. We have not yet made a paradigm shift in our transportation technology, and I thought we would have a long time ago.
Are we better connected, though, as people?
Well, you know what? We're better connected, and we're more disconnected. I mean, I find that there's huge gaps in people's communication. For example, we've had to put in fairly strict rules with our kids when we go out for dinner or if we're at the dinner table. No cell phones, because we can all be sitting at dinner and everybody can be somewhere else. And I've actually been in places where you're at a dinner meeting with people and some of the people really aren't with you because they're on their Blackberries, and that's ridiculous.
Are you a Blackberry or iPhone sort of person?
Oh, no. I'm a geek. I'm HTC. But I think I'll probably switch to a BlackBerry at some point, because Gordon's got me sold on them.
Yeah. I've had my BlackBerry for a year, and I don't even have a laptop anymore, because I find that I can do everything on it.
Yeah, it's amazing, because for Gordon to be using a BlackBerry, he was notorious for not taking a cell phone. He does not like to be connected. He just, no, leave me alone kind of thing, if you talk to my people or something.
Yeah.
But the BlackBerry, which I gave him last Christmas, it's to the point where I'm like, no, the BlackBerry is not beside the bed at night. Like, it has to be somewhere else, because otherwise he'd be checking his BlackBerry in the middle of the night.
Yeah. Are you a Mac or a PC?
No, I'm total PC. I think Macs are toys.
Really?
Yeah, I do. Well, I mean, it really depends what you're doing. If you're a graphic designer or if you like to play, if you're a gamer, I can see that there'd be times. But no, I'm a Windows person.
And we've got Christmas coming up. I'll ask you about your plans for that. But so, did you unplug at all?
Are you? Oh, I do. Oh, yeah. No, totally. I think that there's times you have to be online. I mean, I can't. I can't be completely detached because running a software company means I have to at least every few hours just make sure there's no urgent emails. But my brain is not really focused on work at all. I mean, I just completely switch gears, and it's 100% Christmas and family and whatever. So unless there's an emergency, I won't be doing anything work-related.
Yeah, let's move to political matters. The HST, what do you make of all that?
You know, I think the HST could not be worse timing. I cannot believe. First of all, I cannot believe there are people trying to tell us it's for our own good. So if you think it's a good thing, I'm going to offend you. I cannot believe that they would bring it out at this time in the economy when people are having such a hard time making ends meet, and it's going to be applied across the board, even as a business person where, you know, well, it'll affect us, but we'll manage, because in business you just end up rolling with the punches. We will, all our customers in Canada will now have to pay, in BC will be paying the HST, and we do web hosting. Everybody has to pay HST. So the only thing I'll be doing is sending out early renewals saying, well, if you want to avoid the HST, pay now.
Yeah.
But I don't like it at all. I mean, restaurants, I would not want to own a restaurant right now. And my kids, some of our kids live on their own, and their cost of living is going to go up dramatically, and they will feel it. And that, I just think it's terrible timing.
The opposition to it, though, do you think that'll have an effect?
No, I don't. I don't really find the opposition effective at any level. Provincially, you know, I have to be careful. Some of my friends are NDP MLAs and some are Liberal MLAs, but I just find provincial politics in BC is just a complete disaster right now. There's just nothing out there that makes me feel hopeful for the future. We have two of the most unpopular provincial leaders we ever had. Both of them are going out of their way to reassure us they're going to be there next time. Why? Don't reassure me. Reassure me you're considering leaving, and then I can start to feel good about things, even if you're planning to stay. Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, the Olympics, does that affect you people at Powell River there?
The torch is coming through Powell River, and some people are excited about it. I know that Paralympics, I think, is going to be more connected to Powell River because we have a big support group up here for people who have, disabilities or community living and that sort of thing. So it doesn't, you know, we're a little off the beaten path. The way it affects us, to me, most visibly, is that the ferry that we have that connects us to Vancouver Island hasn't been painted this year. And if we go south to Vancouver, we see the ferries getting nicer the closer we get to Vancouver, and you get those really fancy ones with the Olympic paint job. You come up here and you look at the one going to Comox, and it looks like something from a third world country. It's embarrassing. And I think, wow, you know, you would never have seen that before because they had regular maintenance, and they wouldn't have been allowed to get that rusty. And last winter, when the storm started to hit it, the water was coming through the roof. So they've just diverted all the resources to the south. That's it. Anything that will be seen by Olympic visitors has money, and if it isn't, we don't care. And that to me, is a much more visible connection up here. And I think they bust the report that I had from someone who works in human resources here for the federal government said there were 30 people sent up who were homeless Vancouver people. And they just bust them one way to Powell River. So we don't really have a homeless issue. But somewhere into the community, we've absorbed 30 more homeless people in the last few weeks to get ready for the Olympics.
Really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, what's it like in Powell River this time of year? Does it snow a lot, or is it just pretty much the same as it is in Vancouver?
We get less precipitation than Vancouver, and sometimes it's a lot warmer and sunnier. We have Vancouver Island and Texada Island as the first hit for the rain. So, of course, the west coast of Vancouver Island is really wet, and then the west coast of Texada Island gets more rain than we do. So we're in a little bit of a rain shadow. We get snow behind us in the mountains, so you can go cross-country skiing or snowshoeing, but actually the climate is quite nice. Yeah.
And you'll be spending Christmas there?
Yes, and most of our kids, well, I think all the kids will be here for part of the time. We have five kids together, and two of them are married, and two grandkids. And then the youngest is 17 now.
Really?
Time flies.
Yeah.
So they're all here. So the house will be very noisy and very full. And for the first time ever, we're going Christmas caroling in the neighborhood.
Really?
Yeah, the kids had this idea. And I think it's going to be very memorable, even if the neighbors are not as appreciative as we think they should be.
Yeah, yeah. And you cook, obviously, do you?
I love cooking, yes.
Yeah.
I make I like to have a big, big dinner. We have... We always have an open house at the house, so we'll have about probably 35 or 40 people for the 22nd, And then on the 24th, we'll have a Christmas Eve dinner and have some friends and family, probably about 12 for dinner. And then family dinner Christmas Day will probably be about maybe 12 or 14 people. So, yeah, it's we make a big deal out of it. And then, of course, we're all in a turkey coma on Boxing Day.
Yeah. What sort of Christmas do you think Michael Ignatieff will be having?
I don't know. You know, I really hope that... I hope that the guy that I saw at the convention in Vancouver a few months ago comes back. I don't know what's going on with the federal liberals, and I am a dyed-in-the-wool federal liberal. My family is in Canada because of Pierre Trudeau, and we all remember that as something we're really grateful about because we came over from India when I was just little. But, you know, democracy is important, and it is important to support the democratic process, and ideology is really important in defining a country. And I thought that the party was getting back to those roots. And then, you know, with the announcement on the tar sands and with some of the discussions that have been going on, I'm a little bit concerned about what's going on federally. And you know, the bottom line is, as Canadians, we have to hope that our federal government is representing us well in places like Copenhagen. But beyond that, as people who might be looking for an alternative, the alternative has to be an actual alternative, not just a different party. And I think that's where my biggest concern is.
And is it his fault, or is it the other people who don't like him, perhaps?
I think probably a bit of both. I think Ignatieff is... I think he's doing what he's doing for the right reasons. I think he has a very keen intellect and a pretty good sense of humor. I don't think he is as savvy about popular media as he could be, and I think that it wouldn't hurt for him to sit down and just do a reality show watching marathon to kind of get a better idea of where a lot of Canadians' heads might be at these days, because a lot of, you know, people live day to day, and they get their entertainment, they get their information, and they make their decisions based on everything that's placed in front of them, and there's a lot of things on television or on the computers that I'm not sure that Ignatieff and his team have a real grounding in yet. They're very good at the higher level issues. They're really good, but you have to maintain the common touch. You have to be on the same wavelength as the people who are going to be voting, and not just the people who are thinking all the time, but the people who may not be spending a lot of time thinking about it because they don't have the time. Life is busy, and their families are keeping them busy, and maybe they're broke, and they've got a lot of challenges, and you need to be able to talk that language, and I don't hear a lot of that yet. Yes, there are some problems in the party, but I don't see them as being particularly difficult, and I think that he's drawing the right people around him to build the infrastructure for success, and so it's just the messaging that really needs to be kind of worked on.
And do you find that there are people who are perhaps ready to fill the vacuum if there is one? Like, I mean, you had this fundraiser with Justin Trudeau, I understand?
Yes, it was very good.
Is he the future of the party?
He is definitely one of the people who will be the future of the party. Justin Trudeau is a very passionate, intelligent person who I think will definitely resonate with Canadians. And my goodness, the young women at the reception were all starry-eyed. We also had an event with Scott Bryson up in Pell River, and it was very easy to get people in the room who were progressive and who had solutions for green economy, for alternatives. And Scott Bryson, when he was Minister of Public Works, had actually implemented a green infrastructure program for the federal government as a landlord, which transformed the economy for suppliers. So people like that who are, I mean, Scott Bryson's in his early 40s, he's also part of the future of the party. And so there's some really exciting thinking going on in the federal Liberal Party, and the infrastructure is coming together. Whether or not it'll happen in a way that will prevent Harper from getting a majority next time or allow Ignatieff to be prime minister, I don't know yet. I don't yet see that coming together, and it really depends on the timeline.
You dreamt of Stephen Harper the other night?
I actually did.
You did?
I actually did, and it was you know, over the course of my life, there have been many times when I've had people, like young, it reminded me of when I used to have someone else's kid at the table, and when they were young, and they weren't allowed to leave the table till they finished their vegetables. And that was, my dream was that Stephen Harper had come for dinner, and Gordon is very strict about table manners for the kids. Like, you can't leave the table unless you're excused, and everything has to be put a certain way, and you finish what's on your plate, and that sort of thing. And he always has been. I mean, the kids are pretty used to that. And in this case, Stephen Harper's at the table, and he wouldn't finish his vegetables, and Gordon was getting really impatient, so he left. So it was just me and Stephen Harper. And I said, well, you can't leave till you finish your vegetables. So I had to spoon-feed him. And I really think it's this Copenhagen thing that ultimately he is our prime minister, and he's got to do what's good for all of us, and he represents all of us. So if it means we got to feed him his greens, and it was broccoli that he was really balking at, then I think collectively as Canadians we have to make sure that we spoon-feed him the greens that he needs to represent us effectively in the international forum. So, but yes, it was. I do have a sense of humor from time to time, and I,
yeah. Obama has committed more troops to Afghanistan. Does that affect our troops there and our this timeline that we have?
I think Afghanistan is a big concern, and I hope that we look at collapsing our own timeline and separate ourselves a bit from what's going on with NATO, because a lot of the Canadian forces are in some of the most dangerous parts of Afghanistan. They have the very high-risk missions, and some of these other countries are going in there, and from a distance it appears that all the countries are putting in the same effort. But we're carrying a heavier load, and our troops are having a very tough time, and they don't complain. I mean, Canadians are very good about that, and I believe that they care, and they're there for the right reasons. But I don't believe that Afghanistan at this point is going to turn into the kind of democracy that it had the opportunity to become when we first went there. And if our objective is to actually assist them and facilitate democracy, I do not believe we can achieve that objective right now, not with the people in charge, not with the way it's being run. And so we're really risking our troops for an ideal that is no longer on the table. And we have to ask ourselves, why would we do that? There are other places we can be more effective and do more good. So, and Obama, I think, not to be mean or anything, I think he's really out of control. I think he's over his head. I think he's in love with himself on TV, and he's making a lot of mistakes. So
I was just thinking about popular culture and the sort and Tiger Woods. I'm just wondering, do you think Michael Ignatieff knows how many women there's been now that have come out?
I don't think so. And I think that there's...
And you have to know that, don't you?
I think you do. In fact, the joke that I had, I went to one of the Laurier Club receptions. I said, you know, he probably doesn't know who Kim Kardashian is, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't want to put too fine a point on it, but if you're going to talk a language, if you're going to be in a room full of thousands of people and be able to carry on conversations at a level that they understand, you've got to be in touch with their culture. And it should be your culture. It shouldn't be a subset of a culture where you have a bit of common ground, but you can't talk the same language. And, yeah, when it comes to things like that, that the things are top of mind and people are talking about the water cooler subjects, I'm not sure that there would be that overlap yet. And I'd love to be able to get my hands on them and say, okay, here's the prescription for how you actually go out there and make sure that you can walk into a Walmart and talk to people, and that you know the price of Kraft dinner, and that you understand that some people cannot pay their hydro bills, and you know what it's like when there's a single mom whose power is going to be cut out and she only has electric heating. You need to know that. You need to know what her options are. You need to know how scary that is. And I don't see that. And I think that more and more there are people who really need a champion, and I think his heart's in the right place. I think he has the intellect to solve the problems. I'm not sure yet that he has a gut feeling for them.
Judy, I appreciate this chance to talk to you again. Best of the season. Happy Christmas to you and Gordon.
Yeah, and all the best to you, Joseph. Thanks for this.
You're very welcome. Okay. The website for more is tugboatenterprises.com. Judy Tayabji from Powell River This Day in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Bonham.